4 a.m. at Denny's, written by Bittercape and read by Flower Parish. This is a DC fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Jason Todd / Roy Harper / Slade Wilson. Tags include alternate universe, urban fantasy, liminal spaces, eldritch Gotham City, cryptid Jason Todd. Roy is some kind of empath. Slade is Slade. And threesome of a sort. This is part one of the Killing Time series.
Stumble and I fall. Your time is on my side. Don't make sense of it all. Despite my foolish pride, it's got me on my knees, tearing up my heart and shaking at my bones, tearing me apart.
What the hell? Slade says, more to himself than anyone else, and with good reason. Jason sent the rendezvous alert a little over an hour ago, not the SOS. That would have had Slade do whatever necessary to get to him immediately if he had to hijack Superman to do it. And his beacon took Slade here. A Denny's. On the outskirts of Philadelphia. What the actual fuck? The inside has that slightly uncanny feeling of not entirely real that can be found at 4 a.m. in any space made for passing through, but this one is amplified by the two figures sitting in a corner booth away from the windows. Jason looks up, and the fluorescent lights flicker a little before he clocks Slade and they stabilize. Slade goes up to the waitress at the counter. She's half asleep, leaning her chin in her hands, clearly a veteran of many a night at Denny's, if she can sleep through Jason's currently spiky presence. Coffee, please, Slade says, and her hand reaches for a cup without looking up. Black. 2:29, she says mechanically, pouring the coffee. Her eyes might be closing entirely. It dawns on Slade that there's more to the situation than her having worked here too long. Morning, he says, and sits down next to Jason. The press of thigh against his own is a warm line, a physical, hello, I am here, you are mine, that is always welcome. Across the table, Roy looks up at him. He looks, to put it mildly, like shit. His normally pale skin looks almost translucent, freckles standing out starkly, and his hair is limp and tangled. And what happened to you, Sunshine? Slade asks. Roy rolls his eyes with an effort. Exhaustion, foggy thick and clammy, creeps closer as Roy's grip on himself weakens. Hey, Slade says. Come here. He shuffles Jason a little further into the booth, making space for Roy on his other side. Roy leans heavily against him, soaks up energy like a sponge through the skin contact. Slade leaves him to it. He can handle it. What happened, sweetheart? He asks Jason, wraps his arm around his shoulder, pulls him in. Jason turns his head to look at Slade, eyes briefly reflecting the headlights of a passing car. His tongue flicks out to lick his lips, quick and wet, and Slade just catches a glimpse of his sharp canine. Irresistible. Slade leans in to kiss him, and Jason makes a hungry noise into his mouth. Heat pools in his stomach, insistent, even though it's only been a couple of days. On his other side, Roy makes a contented hum and slips a hand under Slade's shirt, spreading his fingers over his back. Slade nips at Jason's plush bottom lip and then lets him go. Jason turns a little, leans his back against the wall, looks at Slade with his Roy attachment. Smiles that slow, pleased smile that's far too rare. His fangs are fully visible, and Slade wants to feel them in his neck. Well, you know how we were looking for that informant, he begins. Gotham is quite possibly one of the most dangerous places in the world. Wedged between two hellmouths, ley lines pulled in as if by gravity, tangling and crossing in her depths, sinking into the darkness of Gotham like so many paths. The voices of dreams and lost desires, and the restless dead, echoing in any open doorway or abandoned alley. Jason is a true Gotham native twice over, born at a crossroads and reborn from her dirt, and he can feel her soul singing in tune with his whenever he is near, whenever he is home. "I swear you get weirder the longer you're here," Roy says. He is not of Gotham, and it shows. His aura, normally expansive and exuberant, crowds close and mutes down to a whisper of itself. Good for stealth, not good for Roy's happiness. "I do," Jason says, and feels power crackle between his ribs. "I am." His senses expand with Gotham's streets and alleys and lines, run relentlessly, sniffing and sorting and searching until... "Gotcha," Jason whispers, and he can feel Roy smile beside him. Gotham leads the way, and Jason follows, Roy at his six. The route isn't always the most direct, but Jason trusts his city that it is the best, through narrow passages in alleys and openings between basements, across corridors and along the walls of abandoned houses. They get closer to their target with every step. The path isn't as clear to Roy as it is to Jason, but a hand on the skin of his arm helps, enough that Roy doesn't stumble in the pitch dark underneath the daylight streets of Gotham. "How do you know?" Roy asked Jason, back when they first started running together. "How do you know the way?" "How do you know the way your arrow hits the target?" Jason asked back, and it's the same thing, as far as he can tell. Jason's above average with a bow, but he's one of the best with a gun, and he knows his way as long as there are ley lines to follow, as sure as a bullet knows its path. And in Gotham, everything is amplified. "Down and then west," Jason whispers, and Roy squeezes his arm in confirmation. Gotham leads the way, but Gotham doesn't know everything, and creatures not of Gotham are one of the things that slip past her. It's understandable, Jason thinks, to miss the significance of something as comparatively small as this when you're the size of a city. Unfortunately, neither Jason nor Roy have that luxury, and he has plenty of time to consider that while he's gradually regaining consciousness, dangling upside down, wrapped in a cocoon from his toes to his eyes, while Roy bargains with the vampire spider creature, who, by all appearances, has eaten their previous target. "Moon's over, extra cheese," the waitress says, and puts down an unrealistic-looking sandwich with scrambled eggs, ham, and an unholy amount of cheese in front of Roy. "And blueberry pancake breakfast, extra hash browns." "Do you have something on the menu with more than one vegetable that's not deep-fried?" Slate asks. "Scrambled egg whites with spinach and tomatoes," she answers. She's looking significantly less tired now that Roy isn't spreading misery around like cold and overcooked cabbage leaves. "One of those, with a side of broccoli," Slade says, and grabs Roy's plate for himself. Roy makes an indignant noise. "Shut up, you have iron deficiency," Slade says, and takes a big bite of the sandwich. "It's creepy when you do that," Roy pouts, and Slade relents and pushes half the sandwich back to him. "Creepy, but useful," Jason says. "I didn't know the vampire took that much from you." Roy mumbles something indistinct and takes a huge bite of his sandwich. "What was that, sunshine?" Slade asks. He waits while Roy chews and glares at him, while Jason devours his pancakes like a starving man. "I might not have been at my best when we started," Roy mumbles, slightly louder. At Slade's frown, he flinches a little before continuing. "I had a tiny bit of blood loss last week, and I couldn't get properly fed, so it was taking a while." He falters at Jason's glare. "You could have fed from me," he growls, You can always feed from me. I can take it, especially in Gotham. I know, but... Roy stares at his hands again. You were angry. Slade sighs. Jason's anger is a lot for anyone, and even more so for Roy. Slade is perhaps a little too balanced, too even-keeled, but it's a lot easier for Roy to get his fill from his more placid emotions. Jason's passion is easily too much in any direction. I'm sorry, Jason tells his pancakes. Slade resists the urge to sigh again. If Jason starts feeling guilty, Roy will feel guilty for making him feel guilty, and they'll have a whole spiral going on in no time at all. If it gets really bad, the Denny's might not make it. How about you feed from us both later, Slade says, when I've made sure Jason is happier and you've had your spinach. Roy nods, but he's sullen rather than guilty. Slade will take it. And meanwhile, you can tell me what happened. The rest of it. Why can't anything ever just work out? Roy thinks to himself. Not for the first time. Jason took point, and as such, was the one to spring the trap. There are few things Roy hates more than Jason being in danger or injured, even though he intellectually knows Jason can take a lot of damage. Something about Jason's emotions leaking out all over the place, not just the ones he's aware of himself, but the deeper ones, below the surface. Roy knows every fear and every hurt buried in Jason's mind from the way he reacts to pain and peril. Sometimes, Roy suspects he knows about things that Jason has forgotten or compartmentalized completely. Like now, when Jason is wrapped up like a fly caught in a spider's web, held immovable and defenseless in the air, head down. His hair is hanging, swinging in the slight movements as Jason's surface-level emotions are all razor-sharp and sniper-focused on getting out, on freeing himself, on moving forward. Roy thinks he's sawing the cocoon apart with what little maneuvering room he has. The knife in his wrist sheath is spring-loaded, and he won't have had any problems getting a hold of it. Below the surface, however, is a barely controlled panic at being immobilized, at being aware and awake in a space he can't get out of, a space designed to keep him contained. Roy can feel how Jason keeps control of his mind with a steel grip, to keep from thinking about confinement and suffocation, to not imagine the cocoon tightening around him to squeeze every breath out of him. And deeper still is a feeling Roy can only describe as no. An instinctual, stubborn refusal to comply, a will stronger than sanity or reason, a subconsciousness made of iron and serrated edges, an escape, fight, survive, at any cost. It's overwhelming, like Jason often is. Roy can feel himself fraying at the edges with the intensity, the passion of Jason's emotions. It's what drew him to Jason in the first place, like a moth to a flame, wanting to drown himself and gorge himself and dissolve in it, no matter the cost. He's dealing better with it these days. You know he's not going to be good for you, Roy says, pushing, convincing, trustworthy, honest, in the direction of the creature with every word. The creature thinks about it, exoskeleton fingers tapping against rough concrete in a disorganized rhythm. Roy packs his instinctive fear and revulsion up tight, hides it under several layers of blandness, a rotting carcass hidden under layers of autumn leaves.
Are you certain about that?
The creature asks, in a voice like scraping fingernails.
How can you tell?
I am certain, Roy says, earnest, benevolent. He's born from this place, and you can feel how it doesn't like outsiders. It's a lie. Gotham likes him just fine, and he's an outsider too. What Gotham doesn't like is anyone hurting Jason specifically, because he's had quite a lot of hurt in his lifetimes. Building a sense of common ground is essential to convince this monstrous thing to let Jason go, though, so the lie is worth it. He'll explain to Jason later if he has to.
It is spicy,
the creature says, and flicks a truly disconcerting-looking tongue out, tasting the air. Far too spicy for a refined palate such as yours, Roy says, and the creature nods thoughtfully. It gets up and stalks around Jason on far too many legs, clicking disconcertingly on the floor. Still hanging upside down, Jason's glare is murderous, rage drowning out the underlying fear. Roy staggers a little before he can get his knees to cooperate again.
"And what would you have me do?"
the creature rasps, right in his ear. Roy forcibly keeps himself from flinching at the sudden cage of legs around him, the creature's body hovering behind. "I would have you bargain," he says, voice steady and emotions calm, even as he feels the fury radiate off Jason. "Up we get," Roy tells Jason, and hauls him upright. Darkness is edging in at the edges of his vision. Jason is many things, but lightweight he is not. But he ignores it and pushes on. The creature's venom is making Jason weak as a kitten, and his body won't process it all for a longer time than Roy is comfortable staying here in the creature's lair. Jason is leaking frustrated, worried, angry, and it's seeping in through his skin, as close as they are. Roy does his best to close himself off. Jason's emotions won't help at the moment, and he doesn't have anything to spare to soothe him. "Why did you do it?" Jason asks, close to the sensitive skin on his neck as he's leaning most of his weight on Roy's shoulder. Roy can feel his breath. He can almost feel his lips move. "Why did you bargain with your blood?" "It was the only thing it would accept," Roy says, which is true to an extent. It was the only thing it would accept in order to let Jason go and agree to leave Gotham for good. The slow-acting mind poison Roy pushed into his blood before it fed off of him may or may not work well enough to get it to leave this plane of existence altogether, but Roy will presumably, hopefully, never know. "I don't like it," Jason mumbles, enveloping Roy in a rush of fondness. "I don't like it when you're hurting." "I know, honey," Roy answers, and starts on the stairs, up, up, and away, keeping a tight hold on Jason, his own spreading emotions, and his consciousness. This is fine. Or at least it will be. "It's not a safe house, but it's better than nothing," Slade says, guiding Roy and Jason into the hotel room. It's a lot better than nothing. It's private and secure and has a massive bed. Jason makes a pleased noise and flops down onto the bed. Roy fidgets minutely by Slade's side. He still gets insecure about his place with them, sometimes, particularly when he's off balance in other ways. "Why don't you go take a hot bath?" Slade says, "and I'll get him more relaxed by the time you're done." The tension in Roy's shoulders eases a little, and he leans into Slade's side, contentment flowing over for a moment, before he slinks into the bathroom, pulling his shirt off over his head as he goes. His hair is looking better already, fanning over his naked back, a curtain of red veiling the constellations of freckles over his shoulders. On the bed, Jason hums appreciatively, and Roy turns his head to smirk at them both before opening his pants and closing the door before he can show anything more. "Tease," Slade says, and Roy's laugh is bright over the sound of running water. He turns to look at Jason, sprawled on the bed and looking back at him with hunger in his eyes. He likes Jason like this, fresh off a fight and eager to feel, to make sure he's alive and breathing. It's an instinct they share. "Turn over, sweetheart," Slade says, and pulls off his own shirt. Jason watches him undress, blatantly appreciative, before turning over, still fully dressed. "Brat," Slade says, and he swears he can see Jason's grin in the set of his shoulders. "Just for that, you'll get to wait longer." "Oh no," Jason says into the pillow. "How will I cope?" Slade grins and steps over to the bed, and hauls Jason up into a kneel with one arm, efficiently stripping off his shirt and opening his pants, before dropping him back down to get to his boots and socks and pants. He's a beautiful sight, curving muscle under tanned skin, scars drawing a map of past injuries and successful healing. Slade brushes his hand over his skin, from the back of his knee, over his thigh and the swell of his ass, up over his back, detouring around his deltoid and ending up at his neck, in a firm grip. On the bed, Jason shudders. In the bathroom, Roy is humming under the sound of splashing water. Slade strips off the rest of his clothes efficiently and straddles Jason. His dick is resting at the small of his back, heavy already and filling out rapidly, but he ignores it for now, in favor of drizzling a little of the oil he always carries these days over Jason's shoulder and back. The scent of sandalwood spreads in the room as he smooths the oil over Jason's skin. Jason makes a happy sound into the pillow. "That's it," Slade says, and digs his thumbs into the knots of muscle under Jason's shoulder blades. Jason groans and melts completely, muscles going pliant in a landslide of relaxation. "Good boy," Slade murmurs, and Jason rocks his hips lazily into the mattress, the urgency and tension evaporated into nothing. He moves down Jason's body, palms flat against his skin for slow strokes, fingers digging into lax muscles. Slade lingers over the generous curve of Jason's ass, ignoring his urge to bite and lick. That will not get Jason relaxed, and while that's more than enjoyable, it's not what Roy needs now. Instead, he stretches his fingers out to nearly span the width of Jason's thighs, strokes down and then back up, shifting to the insides of his thighs. His hips tilt back and up reflexively as Slade spreads his legs, putting his ass on beautiful display and offering better access. "Very good," Slade says, and Jason whines into the pillow just as Roy emerges from the bathroom, skin flushed from the heat of his bath. He stops for a moment, just looking at Jason and Slade on the bed, but there's no hesitance in him, just blatant appreciation. Slade turns his head to look at him, makes a "come here" motion with his head, and Roy comes willingly, crawls into bed and leans into Slade's back, skin warm and hair wet. There was a time, not that long ago, when they were wary of each other, feeling out how they fit with Jason between them, not knowing what they could be to each other as well. That's no longer a problem. Roy's arms wrap around Slade from behind, absently teasing at a nipple and exploring the trail of hair leading down from his navel. He can feel Roy brushing up against him in other ways too, careful touches at the edges of his emotions, reaching out with his own. "What do you need?" Slade asks, as his hands keep stroking up and down the inside of Jason's thighs. Jason makes an impatient noise, and Roy drops his hand from Slade's chest down to cup the muscle of his calf, soothingly. "I want to feel you both," Roy says. It's taken him a while to tell them what he needs, but he knows by now that they'll both listen and accept. "Anything," Jason says. "Get under him," Slade says, and pulls Jason up onto his hands and knees by the hips. Roy smiles broadly and slips around them, holding Jason's shoulder up as he slides under him, on his back and looking up at them both. "Hi, Jaybird," he says. "How are you doing?" "Great," Jason says, only slurring a little bit. "Time to do something about that." "Lube," he says, and Roy tosses him the tube he put on the nightstand earlier. Jason is already beautifully relaxed, and he melts down onto Roy's chest as Slade sinks the first two fingers into him, easy and smooth. There are few things more satisfying than the twin moans of pleasure under him. Jason's from his touch, and Roy's from the secondhand emotional impact. Jason opens up for him easily, Roy's relaxed contentment making him more pliant, more receptive. Slade, not touching Roy yet, doesn't get the full impact of him, but he'll get there soon enough. He watches as Jason mouths aimlessly at Roy's nipple, Roy's eyes half-closed as he buries his fingers in Jason's hair. They're gorgeous, the two of them. With no reason to hold off, Slade coats himself in lube and slides into him, the shock of Jason's pleasure hitting him through Roy's amplified emotions, even without direct touch. "Fuck," he hisses, and tightens his grip on Jason's hips reflexively. Jason shudders around him in response, which does not help matters. Slade inhales deeply, attempts to get himself back under control, and in a few breaths, it works. He lays a heavy hand on Jason's back, pushing his back into a deep arch, and Roy makes an appreciative noise at the sight. Slade pulls out slowly and finds a rhythm that lets him stay in control, loses himself a little in the heat and pressure of Jason around him, in the sight of Jason's hands gripping the sheets, pushing his chest into Roy's, in the sounds the two of them make, bouncing sensation and emotion between them. He knows what will happen as soon as he touches Roy, and he wants to wait, wants to drag it out, but he can't. He reaches out and grabs Roy's hand, folds their fingers together, and falls into it. Jason is shaking apart under him, around him, and Roy adds Slade's pleasure to the mix, feeding and giving back in an endless spiral, amplifying every shuddering contraction around him, every firm push into Jason's prostate, Jason's hand frantically moving over his own cock, every gentle touch of Roy's fingers in Jason's hair, over Slade's shoulder, everything all at once. It lasts a moment and forever. Slade is panting into Jason's neck, crushing the both of them under him, fingers somehow tangled in Roy's hair. He can feel the pressure of his own weight on Jason and the both of them on Roy, how it's difficult to breathe but still so good, how Jason loves all the skin contact on both sides, and Roy drinks in their contentment and satisfaction, reflecting it all back, wrapping the three of them in a blanket of blissed-out pleasure. "Okay, I gotta breathe," Roy says, after an eternity, and Slade reluctantly pulls out, still half-hard and oversensitive. Jason gives a full-body shudder and slides off to the other side of Roy, linking their hands together on his chest. "Let me know when you're ready for round two," Roy says, oozing smug satisfaction. And Slade laughs into the pillow at Jason's half-complaining moan. The end.
And if I had the chance, I'd do it all again, but I can't get close to you. I come undone. Scared of the dark, though you tangle and tease me by worse than your bark. You said you'd never leave me. The devil may care, but he don't please believe me. Oh, love of my life, won't you let me down easy? I'm done. Come undone. Come undone. Babe, I come undone.